From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, world leaders are rallying around a strategy to fight global world hunger. It would substantially increase aid to agriculture in developing nations. The Obama administration has no intention of sending pending free trade agreements to Congress until that body first addresses Mr. Obama's personal legislative goals, including health care and financial regulation. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Checking the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Monday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. The nearby December contract in the soft red winter wheat pit, a 562.5 settlement price, up 23.5 cents today. March contract up 23.75 at 583.5, and the May futures at 596 finished 23.25 higher. December futures in the corn pit at 401 up 10.5 cents. The March up 11 at 416.75. And the May contract at 425.5, up 9.75. July futures 434, up 10.25. September contract at $4.42, 11.75 higher. January soybean futures $10.85, up 21.25. March at 10.15.75, up 23.5. And the May at 10.17.5. In a moment, we'll talk with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I believe that is correct. And July contract at 10.17 settlement price in July futures, up 14.75 for the soy complex. August soybeans, $10.03, down a penny and a half for the day. December bean meal futures, $3.04. Up $2.90, January up $3.90 at $2.91.70. December bean oil at $39.76, up $1.15, January at $40.25, up $1.21, and December live cattle at $83.57.5, up 25. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets on the afternoon finished up like this. Crude oil futures, $78.90, up $2.55 for the day. And the ethanol at 208.25, up 6.8 of a cent. Natural gas at 462.5, up 23.3. The RBOB at $1.98.6, up 7 cents. December heating oil at $2.03.4 of a cent, up 6.8 a cent. And the gold futures November contract at $1,138.60. Up $22.50 on this Monday afternoon. U.S. dollar at 74.83 is down 0.49, and the CRB index for the day at 276.72 is up 7.6 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight in Illinois and western Indiana, cloudy, some rain. Elsewhere in Indiana, cloudy, a few scattered showers, some patchy drizzle. Lows will range from 36 in far northwestern Illinois, says Mr. Kieser, to 50 in the far southern parts of Indiana. And then tomorrow, cloudy, some widespread rain. Highs will range tomorrow from 44 in west central Illinois to 58 in the southwestern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says rain will continue on Tuesday night and Wednesday. Showers will taper off from south to north Wednesday night into Thursday, but then it will take several dry days to get back into the field and for those to come back into shape. The next period of dry weather might not be long enough, as a few scattered showers are possible during the weekend. We'll have more detail on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is with us this afternoon. Kurt Kimmel is away from the office there. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me about this marketplace. Another big day in Chicago. Lots of green on the board.
We've had that for the last two or three Mondays. The outside market's pulling it higher. Crude oil up a bunch. The metals up a bunch. The Dow up a bunch. And the dollar down a bunch. Also, this week, we're worried about a finishing harvest on corn, the weather situation, number one. Number two, all the high-moisture corn when you can only harvest 20 to 30 or 40 acres a day because elevators can't dry it. There's not going to be any harvest pressure. We're not going to have a big glut of it all at once because it's just going to take time to get through that high-moisture corn. And then light fund buying and, farmers shutting their bin doors, especially on the beans, with most of it now harvested.
Let's talk just a bit more about corn. Is the dollar the most supportive side of that marketplace?
Well, crude oil also up 244. Energy, corn is an energy for ethanol. So part of it's ethanol, part of it's the dollar.
What are you thinking as we move through the rest of the December? Can it hold these levels and move higher into January even?
Well, our guys on corn are thinking that another 20 on corn, you're at the upper limits and people don't want it, except for maybe the ethanol trade. And then you'll go back down towards that 370 level where there's plenty of people wanting it. So in a range from 370 to 420 back and forth, based on where it's at, people want it more than they more or less.
And do you have a similar range for soybean?
Soybeans, I don't know that we have as much of a range. The usage there worldwide is a lot better. China continues to buy a lot. Are they near about done buying or not? I think the thing on the beans you got to realize is once South America starts harvesting this year's crop, we could have the tops made for beans for quite a while because of their possibility of a better crop because of more rain and also faster planted in Brazil and more acres.
And while the rainfall has taken producers out of the field today and parts of yesterday, there was an awful lot of field work and harvest both that got done last week. What do you think we'll see this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central during the crop production or crop progress reports?
Well, industry's looking at 90% on beans and 60% on corn. I don't know if I'd quite go that high on corn because of the slowness of harvest because of the volume of wet corn.
Are you getting anecdotal evidence that producers are still slowed down? I made the trip across Illinois and Missouri to Kansas City last week, and while there was a lot of corn still out there, boy, they looked like they had moved from Wednesday to Saturday at the time frame that I went over and then back. A whole lot of fields had been taken out.
Well, if you look, Illinois was, 31% a week ago. I'd say most people are at least half done on corn. And the 60 might be a figure we can look at, but 40% still left on this date is still a huge amount not harvested.
What is your best advice for producers at this point? Should they just shut that bin door if they can actually put content there that will keep for a while?
If they can still keep it somewhere and not have to pay extravagant storage, this, that, and the other, I would be holding it. Otherwise, I would be, if the price is high enough, if you look at 010 corn, you can get over $4. I'd start selling some of that also. If the price is high enough, I would be looking at selling it and possibly on corn side, replacing it with calls instead of paying the storage costs.
Anything else to add on the outside markets before I let you go?
The crude oil, if you look, we couldn't hold $80 last week. We're trying to get to 80 again today. We went right back to 76. I think that's as big a factor or bigger than the dollar. The dollar, if you remember last week, was down a couple of days when the grains were down, and it was up a couple of days when the grains were up.
All right. Thanks so much, Pete.
Thank you.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. He, of course, filling in for our regular analyst from his office, and that is Kurt Kimmel. He, of course, is the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal. Thanks to Pete for filling in this afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
If you'd like to hear what Pete had to say again or any of our agricultural programming, you can always visit our website. The address is willag.org and pick it up from there. Either there's a podcast that you can have downloaded directly to your computer automatically or directly from the website. And if you can't get to the website, can't hear us on a radio station, try this phone number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, world leaders at a food summit today rallied around a new strategy to fight global hunger and help poor countries feed themselves, but failed to pledge funds sought by the United Nations. The summit approved its final declaration during its first hours in a show of broad consensus. Countries pledged to substantially increase aid to agriculture in developing nations so that the world's 1 billion hungry can become more self-sufficient. The summit did not commit to a specific figure of $44 billion a year for agricultural aid that the UN Food and Agriculture Organization says will be necessary in the coming decades. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke says that the Obama administration will not submit the pending free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea to Congress for an up or down vote until members first consider the president's high-priority legislative goals, including health care, financial regulation, and alternative energy. Locke says, quote, trade agreements are going to have to wait. Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro, chief of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture, says federal meat inspectors and the meat-producing industry are not doing a good enough job keeping the deadly E. coli bacteria out of the beef supply, and that the common N60 testing protocol is likely to blame. DeLauro has requested an investigation into the scientific merits of the N60 beef testing protocol. DeLauro highlighted 545,000 pounds of ground beef recently recalled by the New York company Fairbank Farms. 16 people have been hospitalized and 2 have died after eating E. coli contaminated ground beef linked to the recall. DeLauro says that even though Fairbank Farms, quote, samples product every 10 to 20 minutes to check for contamination, it was not enough to prevent contamination. And a bipartisan group of senators who favor lowering estate taxes are studying a proposal to gradually reduce the tax until it reaches 35% in 2019. The senators, led by John Kyle of Arizona and Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, have long sought to cut the tax from its current level of 45% and exempt more small businesses and estates. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Now, last week, you know, I had some technical problems with the program on Friday afternoon. Thanks, by the way, much to the folks here at Illinois Public Media because they did a magnificent job under really stressful conditions. That program was supposed to be pre-produced in the can, sitting at the station and waiting for them to air it. There was some problems with how that happened, and they had to come back to me in Kansas City to host a portion of the program. But the problems really started on Wednesday night. So Dave Dickey and I take a ride to Kansas City on Wednesday afternoon. We arrived there. I know full well that I've got a video to produce that evening. So I bring the equipment with me to do it, including a little webcam called an iSight from Apple Computer. I use a Macintosh and have for nearly a couple of decades now. And I had bought this little iSight webcam years ago, had not used it, and thought, hey, rather than taking a regular camera with me, I'll take the iSight, plug it into the FireWire on the side of my Macintosh laptop, and use it for the video that I needed for this particular USDA production, which, frankly, I just needed a shot of my hands on the keyboard of that laptop. So I open it up like a boy at Christmas because I love my techie tools. And I'm looking at all the gadgets that come with the webcam, including all the mounts. And there's a nice little clamp that you can use to clamp onto things, and a couple little mounts that have sticky on the bottom so you can stick it to the sides of whatever you'd like. And then there's a small little round cylinder. It's really, really heavy. It's about an inch long, maybe a half an inch in diameter. And I looked at that, picked it up, and thought, really? Really, this is heavy enough to put that little webcam, that camera, on top of, and it'll stand up straight. How does it do that? Turned it over, looked at the bottom of it, and it's silver. Not a big deal. And then I did the bad thing, because I was tired, I suppose. I looked at that, and I put it down on top of my laptop. It got about half an inch from my laptop, and it sucked right to the laptop, because it's made out of metal. And, well, it was a magnet. And I put that magnet right over the top of the hard drive on the laptop. And it died instantly, right there, that night on Wednesday. I've not got a second laptop with me. I don't have my operating system disk with me to try to fix it. And I've got programs to produce for the next 2 days. And no way to do it. Well, I didn't sleep very well Wednesday night. Fortunately, the farm broadcasting friends I have there in Kansas City and from around the nation happen to use Macintosh, or a few of them as well. And I managed to get some of those programs together. And we pre-produced a whole lot of programming content that came back here for you to listen to. With the exception of that Friday program, which was just one long 29 to 30 minute file. And we put it in a spot in the computers here at Illinois Public Media that gets recorded at 2:06 each and every day. So the program they were supposed to run was there until about 10 seconds before they were supposed to run it, and it was overwritten because it was recording right back to that same file number. That's when they called me, and thanks to the folks here at Illinois Public Media, including Jason Croft and Tom Rogers, for not stressing out too much. And to Mike Zuzolo, who was on the line with me for a bit on Friday afternoon, trying to salvage that program. Anyway, that's my story from Kansas City. I hope you don't have one that's nearly as bad when you need to have your computer, but I thought you'd get a kick out of the kind of stress that Dave and I had while we were out there. Otherwise, it was just a magnificent program in Kansas City, and I know Dave Dickey sure enjoyed his time, as did I. One other note, I don't think I've said it lately, but thank you. Thank you so very much for listening. It means a great deal to me. And if you'd like to get hold of me, please do so. You can do that at 217-333-9697. That's 333-9697. Or just email me at tgleason@illinois.edu.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Matt Payne is on the line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm recovered just a bit from a trip to Kansas City and the loss of my computer hard drive and laptop. Actually, you know, what I did not say there, it was not a laughing matter last week, but I am really pretty good about making sure that everything is backed up. I lost nothing, although the hard drive was dead, completely dead, and I did have to restore to a different hard drive, but everything is there, at least at this point, and it looks like it's all working well. Speaking of working well, things ought to be working well, I think, better at the elevator. Are corn moistures finally down?
Not as much as everyone would like, but a lot better than when we started just a few weeks ago. I'd say the average coming into the door into Champaign is between 20 and 21, which
That's
is, you know, 6, 7 to even 8 points better than where we started. So, you know, this rain isn't helping anything, but hopefully, you know, we get some more heat and some sunlight, we may be able to get another point or two out of there.
How far along do you think producers in the region, and you draw from a fairly large region in east central Illinois and western parts of Indiana, how far along do you think producers are in their corn harvest?
I think corn, we're probably right around the 40 to 45% mark, depending on which direction you're going. That's kind of what we've estimated right around this area for us anyway.
Who's ahead and who's behind?
I would say the western Indiana and northern part of our territory is ahead. The west and the south are behind.
And as far as how the cash grain is holding up, is it following this market higher?
It is. Basis is kind of falling out of bed at most locations. We've been staying fairly steady, trying to be as competitive as possible. Just with this onslaught of new delivery corn, it's hard to hold. And the main issue that's been driving things down is rail and barge freight has fallen out of bed this past couple weeks with this glut of corn coming through the system. So when that happens, we lose our bid as well because we don't have a market to sell to.
Something that's not expected. So how much has it widened out?
In the last couple, last week we've lost about a nickel. We're at 25 under for fall delivery. We were as good as about 15 not too long ago, about 3-4 weeks ago. So, you know, about 10 cents to a nickel, depending on which week we're talking.
How about the basis for soybean then?
It has stayed basically steady all through harvest, surprisingly. We're 15 under right now versus the Jan, and that has stayed with us. We've been for 2 months now.
What do you account that from?
Just the fact that the harvest has been so long that it has widened out when we instead of receiving everything in about a 2 to 3 week time, it's turned into about a 2 month time, which has been able to, we've stayed ahead of our rail receipts, so we've been able to sell at a decent level and then pass that on to our customers.
And one final question. You said rail was a problem at this point. Are your expectations that that will clear up fairly quickly?
I do not. I think with as late as this harvest has become, we're going to continue to have issues with rail logistics.
And your bids for the day are?
We are fall delivery corn 377, Dease corn 390, Jan 10 $4, Feb 10 $403, and March 405, and fall delivery of 2010 $418. For beans, Novi beans 995, Dease delivery $10, Jan $10, February 10-11, March 10-11, and fall delivery 2010-976.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Have a great day.
You too. Matt Payne is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Back with 2 minutes with the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The first day of a strike by University of Illinois graduate workers is focused on four buildings in the center of the Urbana Campus Quad. A few hundred of the members of the Graduate Employees Organization and supporters were near the English and Foreign Language buildings along with Gregory and Davenport Halls. GEO spokesman Peter Campbell says its membership will stay out of class and the walkout will continue until at least the next round of talks between the U of I and union scheduled for tomorrow. The strike came out of Saturday's bargaining sessions. While wages and other issues were settled, the GEO wants contract language guaranteeing the same tuition waivers for students. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler contends the university doesn't plan to change the waiver policy and would negotiate it with a union if it did. And U of I police report few disruptions other than some complaints of those on the picket line using bullhorns. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says criticisms of a proposal to use an Illinois prison to house Guantanamo Bay detainees is pure political strategy and fear-mongering. His comments come as several Republican leaders, including Congressman Mark Kirk, cite safety concerns with housing suspected terrorists in western Illinois. Durbin says if the federal government buys the Thompson Correctional Center, it'll become more secure than its current maximum security status. He says that includes building another perimeter fence around the facility in rural Carroll County. Durbin and Governor Pat Quinn are defending the proposal, saying it would be a lifeline to the economically depressed area. Chicago Board of Education President Michael Scott's death was a suicide from a gunshot wound to the head. That's the result of an autopsy by the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. Police officers who rushed to the Chicago River early this morning in response to a report of a body being spotted found Scott dead. Family members say they appreciate the outpouring of support they received in the wake of Scott's death. They say a public memorial service will be announced soon. A federal judge whittled down the list of defendants for Rob Blagojevich's corruption trial, dropping Springfield power broker William Cellini and leaving only the former governor and his brother. And Michael Ettinger, an attorney for Blagojevich's brother, said today he'll ask the judge within weeks to sever his client from the contract as well. Judge James Engel didn't drop charges against Cellini. Prosecutors are still free to bring him to trial after they finish with Blagojevich. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Monday afternoon. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Hi, Josh. How are you today? Tell me about the market. Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest. A little gray sky here today. Some rainfall yesterday.
Yeah, it's a slow moving cutoff low pressure system which brought some snow to Colorado and far western Kansas over the weekend, and cooler temperatures into the plains. That rainfall is starting to overspread the Midwest today. It's going to be a slow mover, so the rain will be with us here in Illinois through tomorrow, and then start to clear out late Wednesday into early Thursday. So it's a two-and-a-half-day event. Light rainfall totals kind of over the entire period. No heavy rainfall expected, except for maybe a slight area here on the start of the event in southeastern Iowa. But other than that, on the river right there at the Missouri-Iowa-Illinois junction there. But other than that, it's going to be a half-inch to inch, maybe some isolated heavier totals, but it's going to be over a 2 to 3 day period. After that, we clear out for a little bit till Saturday. A weak wave comes through. And then maybe the bigger, longer-term item of note is that we do start to get some colder air flowing into the Midwest. So these anomalously warm conditions so far this month, 5.5 degrees above normal so far this month at Lincoln, that's going to come to a close after Thanksgiving as we get more Arctic air starting to come out of Canada.
That Lincoln means Lincoln, Illinois. Of course, not Lincoln, Nebraska.
Exactly.
Some of our listeners on the web won't know the difference between the two, or they'll know the difference between the two, but they won't know about Lincoln, Illinois. And
Lincoln,
the
Illinois.
Yeah, Lincoln, Illinois, in my home county of Logan County, where I grew up.
Yeah.
So tell me about the weather that we currently have. You suggested, and I think this is right, that maybe did Iowa and Minnesota and Nebraska miss that rainfall yesterday?
Yeah, they did, by and large. It's far southwestern Nebraska. It got some of the rainfall, and far southern portions of Nebraska got into a little bit of rain, but mainly it was a Kansas and Southern Plains event. Now most of Iowa, eastern two-thirds of Iowa, Missouri and Illinois and the rest of the Midwest get into it today and tomorrow.
And so, and then Ohio will stay dry too or not?
Ohio will see pretty light totals Wednesday into Thursday, and that's going to be, you know, generally amounts under a quarter of an inch for the far eastern belt, eastern Michigan into Ohio. So the epicenter of the rainfall here is this eastern Iowa, northeastern Missouri, central Illinois, and then as you go points north, west, south, and east, you get lower amounts.
It gets colder and drier as we progress through the week, but will we have a return to rainfall?
The next opportunity for rainfall is late on Friday night, very light showers, nothing of significance from a harvest standpoint, and then the next potentially event out there is next Wednesday. So, you know, we're getting events here every 4 to 5 days. It's not an overly active pattern. But behind that event next Wednesday, that's when the cold air starts to funnel in behind, and we'll start to feel more like November by Thanksgiving.
So what are the daytime highs at that point, 45 or 50?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly. You're talking 40s for a high and 30s for a low as a general rule as you get into the last 5 days of November, and then maybe even colder conditions yet as we get into early December.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye, Todd.
Yep, that's Josh Darr. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Have a safe harvest. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.